Trading blocks. As defined in the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary, a trade block or trading block is an agreement between or among countries intended to reduce or remove barriers to trade within member countries. Frequently, but not always, those countries are geographically close. According to Mansfield and Milner in their book, The Political Economy of Regionalism, there are different types of trading blocks, including free trade areas or zones, preferential trade agreements, which allow member countries to have preferential access to certain products from other member countries, customs unions made up of free trade areas with common external staff, common markets made up of free trade areas in which physical, technical, and fiscal barriers are reduced as much as possible, economic unions made up of common markets and customs unions as described above, customs and monetary unions made up of customs and currency unions that share the same external trade policy and currency, economic and monetary unions made up of common markets and customs and monetary unions. In these instances, union refers to a group of two or more countries that form a unit that shares the same philosophies on certain aspects of trade. This is not to be confused with an employee collective bargaining group. Countries can belong to a variety of different trading blocs, and the World Trade Organization tracks the status of proposed blocs. There are also regional trading blocs that form when nations within a particular region join together to reap the benefits. The European Union, EU, is a regional organization that is a trade bloc. Some of the larger standalone agreements between states to form trading blocs include the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, USMCA, the European Free Trade Association, EFTA, the Caribbean Community, CARICOM, the African Union, AU, the Union of South American Nations, UNASUR, the Eurasian Economic Community, EURECC, the Arab League, AL, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, the Central European Free Trade Agreement, CEFTA, and the Pacific Islands Forum, PIF. One of the newer agreements is the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, which was signed in 2020 and had been ratified by China, Japan, and Singapore at the time of this writing. Other parties that have yet to ratify and put the agreement into full force include South Korea, most of the Southeast Asian island countries, Australia, and New Zealand. There is a dynamic range of opinions on how trading blocs impact the global economy, that is, whether they create or divert trade. According to the author of the Routledge Encyclopedia of International Political Economy, the answer is not clear-cut. Now let's take a closer look at one of the major trading blocs, the USMCA. USMCA. The USMCA went into effect on July 1, 2020. It replaces the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. The USMCA is generally consistent with NAFTA. For example, steel and aluminum tariffs are unchanged. The new agreement is designed, however, to deliver greater consistency among ports of entry, improved efficiency and less paperwork, and greater transparency. Notable differences between the two agreements include the following. Agricultural tariffs. Zero tariffs remain for agricultural products, but the U.S. is allowed to export more dairy products to Canada minus 3.6% of the Canadian dairy market rather than the 1% allowed under NAFTA, rules of origin. To qualify for zero tariffs, products must meet certain levels of manufacture within the treaty area called rules of origin. Rules of origin are product-specific, and USMCA rules may have changed from NAFTA requirements. For example, the rule of origin for automotive manufacturers has been raised to 75% as opposed to 62.5% under NAFTA. This increase is seen as an attempt to strengthen automotive manufacturing in North America. Shippers should consult the agreement for guidance on their own situations. Certificate of origin. Certificates of origin have been eliminated to reduce paperwork for shippers. Importers can claim favored trade status by providing certain data, including the name of the importer, exporter, or producer and their addresses, the name and address of the certifier, the tariff classification code, the criteria under which the good meets rule of origin requirements, the blanket period, which can be as much as 12 months for multiple shipments of identical goods, and a dated signature. Certification is not required for imports of $2,500 or less. While these changes have simplified the import process, they do not relieve importers of the need to document transactions carefully. De minimis levels. to streamline trade and support small and medium-sized enterprises whose imports may be small. The USMCA raised thresholds, de minimis levels, for taxes and duty-free treatment. Canada treats North American Express shipments, valued at up to $40, as exempt from taxes. Express shipments up to $250 are duty-free. Mexico provides duty-free treatment for express shipments up to $117. Environmental and labor chapters. These new chapters require the U.S., Canada, and Mexico to enforce environmental and labor laws, such as commitments to air quality and prohibitions against forced labor. These requirements reinforce the importance of conducting due diligence of supply chain members, sunset clause. While NAFTA was declared to be in force until the agreement was removed by its members, the USMCA actually has an expiration date of 16 years or July 1, 2036. The parties must formally review the agreement every 6 years, address problems, and discuss extensions. Effects of trading blocks on supply chains. In order to have the complete picture of trading blocks, the effects on supply chains within and outside blocks should be explained. Effects within blocks. The gravity model is used by social scientists to predict the movement of people and ideas between two population centers as a function of the population of each area and the distance between the areas. According to the gravity model, countries that are geographically closer tend to have a high volume of trade. Because transportation costs and trade barriers tend to be lower, countries that are closer to one another are more likely to become trading partners by forming a trading bloc. Supply chains in the respective member countries usually reap the benefits of volume, quantity, and better prices and terms as well as lower levels of tariffs. With membership in a bloc, supply chain management may find that it's easier and less complicated to negotiate with fewer partners. With a smaller number, concessions between members can be more easily made and enforced, making the process less painful. Supply chains from lesser developed member countries with more economic and political variability can take advantage of agreements with larger entities that they would otherwise not be able to access. Effects outside blocks. If a trading block is large, non-members may see their prices and demand for exports decrease. This can result in deterioration in trade terms and decreased market power of these non-members. Seeing a decrease in their exports, they may resort to protectionist tactics and increase their lobbying efforts. The effects of trade diverted from non-members' supply chains can impact the non-members' ability to make multi-country negotiations feasible and increase the difficulty of doing business across borders, even if it's with the country right next door or one with which they've previously traded. Sometimes, if they are fortunate enough to continue to trade, the non-members may be forced to pay optimal tariffs to the bloc members.